today's sermon is the sin of hypocrisy. How many are ready for this one?
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Now, would you pray together with me? I have a message that the Lord has put on my heart, and I know God wants us to hear His Word. Father, thank You. I'm asking, Father, now that You would take Your Word and cause Your Word now, Father, to minister to us. And Father, open our hearts, open our ears, that we would hear Your Word. And Lord, that You would use me as Your mouthpiece to bring Your Word. And I'm going to give You that praise for that today. And give You honor. And ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, again, I gave Rick the title of the sermon, and he's going to be bringing that up here shortly. And anytime Rick says, oh boy, we know God is working. Luke chapter 6, if you go with me right now as we begin, and I won't have to spend a whole lot of time this morning to bring across this message that the Lord has put upon my heart. Luke chapter 6. And once you get there, I want you to go down to verse 39. Luke 6, verse 39. And He spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but you don't perceive the beam that's in your own eye? Either how can you say to your brother, brother, let me pull out that mote that is in your eye, when you yourself behold not the beam that's in your own eye? You hypocrite! Cast out first a beam out of your own eye, and then you shall be able to clearly see to pull out the mote that is in your brother's eye. Luke chapter 13 now, if you move over a few more chapters. Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 10. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, speaking about Jesus here. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed down and together and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and He said unto her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And He laid His hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. How many say that's a miracle? And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was mad because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Wow. Talk about the religiosity of some. And the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when He had said these things, His adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him. One more scripture. In the book of Isaiah, Old Testament now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 13 is where we'll start. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, Branch and Rush in one day, the ancient and the honorable. He is the head and the prophet that teaches lies. He is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now, does anybody have a clue what this message might be about? And the recurring theme of these verses that I spoke of. The main theme is hypocrites. And today's sermon is the sin of hypocrisy. How many are ready for this one? It's a little quiet in here. Now I want to notice the word of God in Isaiah and Jesus speaking in the New Testament. He calls them hypocrites. So this message of the sin of hypocrisy, I want to look into that word. And I want to see what that word means. So that we all understand this, because the word of God is given to us, is this scripture passage given to us as a church? Or is this for another church? It's absolutely for us. The Greek word there used in the New Testament is a Greek word called hypokrites. Although I like to say that word, I like the way it rolls off of my tongue, Pastor Joseph. Hypokrites. The meaning of that word is not exactly something that I like. That word actually means an actor under an assumed character. Hypocrite, a hypocrite, is an actor pretending to be someone else. Another word for that is a dissembler. A dissembler. Anybody have a clue what that word means, to be a dissembler? Well, I'm going to tell you what that means. A pretender or a phony. Now, all of us can understand those words, can we not? So there is this sin and that thing that people do called being a phony, being a hypocrite, being a pretender. So an easy definition, and this is probably one of the easiest that I can find, is what? One who says one thing and does another. How many of you know folks that say one thing but yet do another? And this is one of the saddest things that I heard as we were having a conversation with Pastor Joseph last night, that he has been several places here in the United States where he has made a connection with someone and said they will be there. And he shows up at that place. He takes a bus trip. He takes let's say he's going from here and he's going to go to North Carolina, and someone says they're going to be there, and he sat in the bus stations with nobody that shows up when they said that they were going to be there. And never did they? And God had to make some other provision. One who says one thing but does another. So, now I want to talk about the word here, hypocrite, and how it relates to us today. Because that word pretender, that word actor, and all the things that we talked about, there is actually a difference. And it is mentioned here by Jesus in calling them hypocrites. There is a difference between being a hypocrite and being hypocritical. Now, some of you might say, Pastor, where are you going with that? The definition, really, of a hypocrite is one that their lifestyle is always like that. And I want you to see the difference here. When Jesus was ministering and he healed that lady, 18 years she was sick. And yet this Pharisee, leader of the Jewish people, supposed to be that of one of great wisdom and knowledge, bringing the word of God to the Jewish people, stands up and says, "Oh, no, 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 no. This should not have happened. I'm going to stand by the law. You don't do this on the Sabbath day." But Jesus turns around and looks at him and calls him a hypocrite. In other portions of the Word of God, Jesus very clear says, "You hypocrite," meaning that that was his entire lifestyle. That was who he is, saying one thing and being another, being a pretender. Now, the difference in that and then being hypocritical is that hypocritical means that you occasionally do something that you on one point said we shouldn't do. Now, let me ask you this. How many of us have ever done that? We have said one thing and done another. Come on now, church. I raise both hands. And you're saying, "Oh, not you, Pastor. Not you." And how many of us, sometimes we get on our little high horse and it's been with our children and we say, "You should not do that." Or with our grandchildren, "Don't do that." And then something happens and you do it yourself. Don't you just love it when someone says, "I thought you said we shouldn't do that"? So is this morning's message for us? Because initially, we say, "Well, we're not hypocrites. We're just not." Now, the church has long been labeled by unbelievers, "I'm not going to church because in there they are all hypocrites." Now that we know the difference in this, is it a true statement that everybody in the church is a hypocrite? Absolutely not. Now, for those that have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean that we don't occasionally do something that we at one point said, "Don't do that." But there should be something that happens whenever we do what we say we ought not to do. Anybody know what it should be? Huh? Conviction should happen with us. You should have the Holy Spirit convicting you all over the place. So there should be conviction, then there should be repentance. We're going to be talking about that. But either one of these, being a hypocrite or being hypocritical, is a sin in the eyes of the Lord. James says, "To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is accounted sin." Now, we don't like to hear that word sin, do we? But it is what God says it is. Knowing to do what God says and not doing it. So I'm going to give you one more example of being a true hypocrite. Matthew chapter 23. Jump over and again, Jesus is sharing here with us. Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to start in verse 23. And I'm so glad Rhonda is here. It starts with our favorite word, right? Woe! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He calls them what, church? Hypocrites. Now, Jesus would not do this if he did not know their hearts and know their lifestyle. "For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, but not to leave the other undone. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which was within the cup and platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. One more time, Rhonda, here it is. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whitened sepulchres, graves which indeed appear beautiful on the outward, but within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. How many of you say they were actual hypocrites? And how many times did Jesus say, woe to the hypocrite? 4 or 5 there, right? Woe! 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 These were those who lived this way always. Now, if that applies to us, we need to hear the conviction of the Lord saying, woe. If that is your entire life, woe, appearing one way and acting another. The next one, hypocritical. You know, Christians can be hypocritical at times, can we not? But it's very interesting to me that unbelievers, they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the things of God, but somehow know enough of what you as a believer should and should not be doing. Isn't that amazing? And very quick to point that out to the believer. Anybody ever have an unbeliever point something out to you? Come on, anybody? Well, I thought you Christians shouldn't be doing that. So it becomes very important that we watch for our testimony. You see, this is so important because there are unbelievers that are watching, and if they see you not keeping the Word of God and being hypocritical, it becomes a prime opportunity to say, why should I follow this God and this Jesus that you're talking about? I think it's so important. And the Lord, the other day I was walking down the road on a morning walk, and the Lord just began to download this into me. And I think about this, and sometimes we as believers, we just think, hey, we can do whatever we want to do. But there's a testimony out there that can be good or bad. And I think this is why the Lord is bringing this to us here today. Just because we mess up occasionally doesn't make us hypocrites. Because we're going to look at a few scriptures here. It should be, as we said earlier, we should feel conviction. Now, I've talked to some folks, and they live a certain way, and they've done a certain thing, and I say, do you not feel any conviction about that? Oh, no. Not at all. I have to begin to question, is the Holy Spirit there in your life if you don't feel any conviction? The Holy Spirit's job is to work on us and to do something called sanctify us. Because the point is, we are all going to do this occasionally. But it's what we do with it from there. It's what we do with that. And especially if you're in a place with a bunch of unbelievers that don't believe in Jesus, and you make a mistake, and you err on that hypocritical side, I think that what we need to do is we need to come to them and apologize for the way that we acted. Oh, I'm not going to do that. They're going to think, you know, they're not going to think I'm much of a Christian then. Well, just by what you've done, already showed them. I'll give you one example, and this was years ago when we were trying to get this church building built. And the man that was giving us so much issues, one day I saw him out on the street. It was right out there on that corner. And he started just in on me about all the things and what we were doing here. And I just kind of lost it. And I let him know. And now I didn't cuss at him or anything, but I was very firm with him. And I let him know what we were going to do and what we weren't going to do. And I came back into the church feeling pretty good about myself. And then the Holy Spirit said, "What did you just do? What kind of a testimony was that to that unbeliever?" Man, I about hit my knees. The conviction was so strong. And I said, "I'm sorry, Lord." And how many of us, we are sorry about it, and you feel convicted about it, but you want to leave it right there. "Oh, God, this is between me and you." And the Lord said, "You go out there and apologize to him." And I went out and humbled myself before that unbeliever and said, "I am so sorry. That is not the way that a man of God acts." And God began from that moment forward to work in that man's life. So when we err on this being hypocritical, let's do something about this to change that testimony around, folks. Amen? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I want us to see this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we are liars and are not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So my question is, do we want Jesus to call us hypocrites? Or do we want to confess? Confess, "Lord, I messed up here." That's what God's calling the man or woman of God to be. Then we move on to the next chapter. "My little children, these things I write to you, that you sin not." See, it's God's desire that we're convicted of these things and that we don't continue to do it. That's what that means. That you don't continue to do this. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins." That's a big word. It means he made all that needed to be made to take care of our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. "And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him is the love of God perfected. This is how we know we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought also to walk even as he walked." So the Lord knows that occasionally we're going to do this, but that does not give us a license to continue to do it. Everybody understand that? We may be occasionally hypocritical, but God does not want us to slide into being a hypocrite. because there's lots of woes right there. Aren't you glad the Lord makes a distinction here? And that He loves us and He's ready to forgive. The Bible actually says right there that we have an advocate. We have someone that stands for us. When the devil steps in and says, you're on the front row, so I get to pick on you again, right, Patty?
Okay.
When the devil steps in and says, I saw what you did. I saw how you got angry. Now, I'm just using this as an example here, okay? What kind of a Christian are you? Oh, one of your children might say that to you, huh?
Yeah, I was having kind of a temper tantrum. Charlie was, I think he might have been in grade school, and he whirled around and looked at me and says, and you're a Sunday school teacher?
Ooh.
Oh, you want to get cut down.
So, that's what the devil does. But we have to realize what Jesus has done. And what answer needs to be said if it's an individual? Hopefully the answer was, you're right. I should not be acting that way. Please forgive me. That's not how a child of God acts. You see, God is working and He wants us to go His direction. And we need to say to the enemy, you know what? Yes, I did, but I am not a hypocrite. I will repent before the Lord, and I will move on from here. I will move on. Now, talking about moving on, Patty, I guess I should move on here. Okay. All right. I'm just going to list a few ways that Christians can be hypocritical. Is that okay with you? Christians can sometimes be hypocritical by being liars. Yes? Yeah, this is tough. This is tough. Paul told the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, that we are to put away lying. Don't lie to one another. Don't lie to others. And lying comes in lots of forms. Stop our lying. Phone number shows up on the phone. You don't recognize it, but you think it might be somebody that you might want to talk to. And here it's a telemarketer. And that ever happened to anybody? Be careful here in lying. Goes something like this. Oh, my neighbor just came to the front door. I got to go. Oh, you know, I got to go. My toilet is running right now. I got to go fix it. And all kinds of things that we say to get people off of the line. Those are lies. And we are told, don't lie. Well, I don't do a major lie. What's the difference? Huh? All right. Pastor, move on. Okay. How about unforgiveness? Yeah, since we're in 1 John here, turn over to chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. If any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, he who loveth God, love his brother also. So there's lots of Christians that proclaim the name of Jesus, but they have bitterness and hate in their heart for someone. God considers that a lie, folks. Unforgiveness. All right, I'm going to move on from here because I'm just giving you examples. How about this one? We don't bridle our tongue. Sometimes we think we can just say whatever we want to say, when we want to say it, and how we want to say it. James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1. Wow, the book of James. If any man among you seems to be religious, and he does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. How many of us sometimes let our tongues go? Bless her heart, she just gave us an example. These are some examples that are in the Scriptures. Moving on, there's fornication and covetousness that happens within the body of Christ. Here's one that some preachers don't like to mention, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, talks about don't be drunk with wine. Now, I have to say this because this is the Word of God. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's all kinds of things that are out there, and those that claim the name of Jesus, and they say, well, you know, I only social drink. Well, you know, the Bible says, it just says, don't be drunk with wine. Wherein is excess. So, you know, I can drink up to my limit. And there's all kinds of things that go around this. And sermons have been taught, and lessons have been taught. But it all comes down to this. What does our testimony look like to unbelievers? Because I can guarantee you that that testimony will not be good for an unbeliever that sees a believer sitting down. And it may just be one glass of wine or one beer or whatever it might be. But as far as their eyes see, I thought Christians weren't supposed to be doing that, and it presents a testimony problem. See, the Apostle Paul, he was pretty clear about this, what God's call is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to see this, because, friends, God's heart is that people come to Christ. And if something causes an unbeliever to not want Jesus, we ought to look at that and change that in our hearts. You understand what I'm saying? God's not trying to keep things from you. God is trying to bring others into the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Fornicators, adulterers, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Somebody say amen. Amen. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here's an interesting verse. Right after he talks about that, Paul says, all things are lawful unto me. As a believer, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So God doesn't want us to be brought under the power of any of these things. And God says, not all things are expedient. They're not good. They're not good for me and for others that may be watching as a testimony of Jesus Christ. God's heart is that we look at our lives and see if there's anything that is causing an unbeliever to look at us and say, I don't want that kind of Jesus. You understand? I'm going to finish off with this. God's heart. Jump over with me 2 Corinthians now. Chapter 6. So it's very important that we pay attention to this. Because it's all about, will we cause someone to stumble based on our life? Now, God's in the business of forgiving. We already have established that. He's in the business of changing us. He's in the business of forgiving us. And all of us need that. Amen? He's in that business. But when we know that God is convicting us, let's go that direction. And let's ask God to help us that we be better testimonies for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now, verse 17 and 18. Here's the call of God. Wherefore, come out from among them, and you be separate, saith the Lord. Don't touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. It is all about, Lord, search my heart. See if there's something that is in me that shouldn't be there. Because this whole business of being a hypocrite or being hypocritical, it's important to your kingdom, God. And so, create in me, David said, what? A clean heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and then convict me so that I can turn around and say, Lord, I give that to you. Listen, there's not one thing that's worse than another. Everybody understand that? But if it's the thing that is in you that is causing someone to stumble or causing you to stumble in your walk with Christ, come out from among that. Let the Lord deliver you. Give that to Him and let God do what God does. Amen? He wants to be our Father. He wants to be the one that does miraculous things in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
The sin of hypocrisy. God, I ask that you would forgive us. Lord, there's not a one of us in here that has not fallen short somewhere, sometime. Father, I pray that you would forgive us. And Lord, if there is someone here or listening online or will listen that doesn't know you, Lord, bring your tender care. Let them commit their lives to you and say, Lord, I want and I need that Heavenly Father. Lord, you said you want to be a father to us. So I'm asking that you would do that. And we'll give you the praise. Give you the honor. Thank you for your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.